So I want to talk about what's going to happen this week. I don't normally preach too much on feast days and things, but there's something different about this week and what's happening this week. I believe it's extremely prophetic of where we are. Because our calling, we carry the restoration of the house of David. Feast days pertain to this call. I'm going to share some thoughts the Lord's given me about what's happening, what's going to roll out this week. Rosh Hashanah, Jewish holiday, Feast of Trumpets. It's coming this week. It starts Monday night, but it's really Tuesday and Wednesday, 23rd and 24th. The prophetic nature of this, because of what God has initiated in this, what's happened with Charlie Kirk, there's been an initiation, an explosion of evangelism. It's organic evangelism breaking out everywhere. There is literally 30,000 people waiting at 4 o'clock in the morning for his memorial service today. They're expecting maybe 300-something thousand people. Organic gatherings all over college campus. 36,000 people have filed for chapter, for Turning Point USA. There's been an eruption. All this comes from the explosion. This happened also in the early church. It's very contained in the early church until Stephen's martyrdom. When Stephen was martyred, the Bible said that they were scattered everywhere. It said the Lord fell upon them, and those that were scattered preached the gospel. And that's how it spread. It spread out. It spread out to Samaria. It got so big that the apostles would go out. But also what happened was it was the birthing of the probably greatest apostle to ever live, and that was Paul. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon Paul right after this. I believe it was Stephen's intercession when he said, Lord, forgive them. And Paul was there consenting to his death. And the Spirit of the Lord went after and converted Paul by an eyewitness. I believe it's the eyewitness testimony is about to revive. And he revealed himself in his resurrection. Full-blown resurrection power. Before his ascension, he would meet with the apostles. They had seen him in his ascension, but he had not ascended to the Father yet. Paul saw him in his full resurrection, saw the glory. And there was a conversion. I believe we're going to see conversions of this magnitude. Even those that are persecuting the church right now, I believe mass conversions are going to begin everywhere, organically everywhere. People are already meeting in the streets. They don't show you all this, but I mean, they're meeting in Huntington Beach the other day. They had thousands and thousands of people come out. And so it's an amazing time. But I want to track with this, the Crown Feast of Trumpets. I believe it's an incredibly powerful week that it will be launched from what happens tonight. It's a memorial service and it'll be launched in. But I believe this feast is something, like I said before, I don't put faith in feast, because people say the feast day, and the Lord actually said this to me sitting over here, he goes, the feast do not initiate my kingdom, but they can fulfill what's already been done. They can be a time of fulfillment. They're not an initiation. You don't need a day or an hour to initiate, because God already initiated your breakthrough. In fact, God already finished it. God's having me pray a totally different way. I'll do this on Tuesday. Everything's past tense from the time I stepped through the door. We did it this morning. It was just powerful. Everything, as soon as I get through the door, is past tense. As I pray as it's already done. It's pretty amazing. Because what it does, just a side note here, if you pray past tense and you get to the place it is past tense, you're not trying to get God to do something. It takes a lot of pressure off of you. You're not waiting for him to do something. You're already in the done realm, and you're speaking from that realm. And once you're there, it's pretty profound to do it that way. I'm really liking, I'm doing the whole thing. And it's really a form of permulation to do the whole level. And for the exception of bringing it back here for decree, but we'll get into that another time. So I want to get into the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. It's actually the Jewish New Year. they celebrate their new year this week, beginning Tuesday and culmination of Wednesday. That's what Rosh Hashanah means. That's their Jewish holidays. There's a lot going on right now, these convergences. Feast of Trumpets. God established this Feast of Trumpets in the book Leviticus. And I'm just going to read what he said. Leviticus verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month. Every time I see seven, my bell goes off inside. I am just a seven person. Everything I do is revolves around seven, because it's seven spirits of God, seven eyes of the Lord, seven pillars of wisdom, seven trumpets, seven day of rest. When I see seven, that means perfection. And so it's the beginning of a perfect year, a perfect day of the Lord, a time where God's going to release perfection. He's going to establish perfection. He's going to begin an alignment that nobody will be able to resist. And he's going to do it in this country. He's going to preach the gospel. Sometime there are times and seasons where God will take a country and preach to the whole world. He did it with Egypt. He broke the back of Egypt and the whole world saw it, because nobody could touch Egypt. Egypt was the it thing, and God broke the back of Egypt. And it preached to the whole world. They all knew God. They heard the stories of the Red Sea drowning all of Pharaoh's armies. It's a time of alignment, and God's going to use this country. He's going to align it. We haven't begun to see the alignment. People are getting fired. They're not used to being fired. They're used to running their mouths, saying whatever they want with no accountability. You have freedom of speech, but we have entered into accountability culture, where we're accountable now. Isn't it amazing how it's been flipped? They used to cancel anybody and everything. A guy wouldn't bake a cake because of his beliefs, and they come down hard. Now it's shifted. They have to watch what they say. God's put a noose around people's mouths. They don't get to just spout out without accountability. Things are shifting and changing, and it's going to happen a lot more. I believe God's going to set some things in motion this week, a whole new level. And it's coinciding with this. So he said, seventh month, you shall have a Sabbath or a day of rest in this month. And a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets is where they get this. They would blow the trumpets. So it's why they call it the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we don't keep the Sabbath day. If you do, you don't need to do that. It's not going to get you any closer to God by keeping the Sabbath. Jesus fulfilled all that. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled. But what the Sabbath means to me is, because it says you shall do no servile or hard bondage work in this day. Work that may be called sweat. It's a redemption. This day of rest is, don't look at it as a single day where you rest. It's a system you're entering into, a kingdom of rest, where God removes the yoke of the enemy. There are many people that go to jobs they don't want to be at. They wake up and do things they don't want to do. They serve masters they don't want to serve. And so it's a time where you're redeemed from the sweat of the brow. You're redeemed from the curse. That was the original curse that came into the earth. The sweat of the brow. Man will live by the sweat of the brow. It's returning to the rest. That doesn't mean couch potato. That means it's a system. You operate in the rest of God. You operate in faith. You operate in a kingdom that's finished and done, that releases the done realm into the earth, where you operate by the rest of God instead of the sufficiency, hard bondage of self-sufficiency. And these trumpets that blow, they understood the trumpets. The Jewish people understood what the trumpets meant. One of the first things they understood about the trumpets, and when they celebrate this, they understood the trumpets of Jericho. When the trumpets blew, that was one of their greatest breakthroughs ever. In fact, when you read that in the literal, when he was rehearsing the battle to Joshua before they actually did that, he said, in the prolongation of the ram's horns of the Jubilee, the walls of Jericho have fallen. It was just amazing. When the Lord would speak to these men in the face of God, he always spoke past tense. He brought them in front, spoke to them from the front, gave them the plan, spoke it. He did the speaking. Now you've been made in his image, totally restored as the Son of God. You do the speaking now. But he gives you the words. Amen? But in the covenant days with these men, he did the speaking for them. And he said, in the prolongation of the ramps, he was standing face to face with Joshua. He brought him into his glory. Fast forward him to the seventh day. He said, on the seventh day, in the prolongation of the ram's horns of the Jubilee, after you've encompassed Jericho, in the prolongation of the ram's horns of Jubilee, the walls of Jericho have fallen and fallen. Notice what he didn't say. If you read it in the literal, exactly what's happening. He says, the walls of Jericho have fallen. He didn't say, they're going to fall. If he says they're going to fall, then you're on the wrong end of the equation. When God speaks, he speaks from an equation that's finished. And once he does that, it's done. Because he operates from the done realm. That's what he's trying to get us to do. Get us over the done realm. It's done. Praise God. But in the ram's horns, they understood those ram's horns. When they blew the walls of Jericho, they fell. I mean, they came crashing down. It was amazing. God did that. That equaled the Red Sea. Those people saw God do things. No wonder he got so upset. They saw him do things that no generation saw. They walked through a Red Sea and then they're doubting whether or not. They saw the walls of Jericho fall. Walls don't fall. They drank water that came out of rock. That does not happen. But for that generation, they got fed every day. He rained food down. All they do is walk outside their tent and gather it. They were given everything. They were a manifestation generation, yet so many of them were so full of unbelief. Still, after seeing all that. They understood in the trumpets. They understood the power of those trumpets. Because it was all part of that. I believe it speaks a lot to me. It was the beginning of the new year, but it's the seventh month, first day of the seventh month. All that's happening this week is we roll into a prophetic time. A prophetic time of the body of Christ, a prophetic time for the Jewish nation, a prophetic time for the return of the crown. I think things are activating, God activated. You have to be pretty blanked out if you can't see that God activated something this last week. He absolutely is activated. And that activation is going to continue as he brings this nation into alignment. Amen? And seeing what he's doing, we enter into this rest. They go through, when they enter in the Feast of Trumpets, they're going to actually blow trumpets in a sequence, in an order, and each sequence means something. And I'm just going to read some of these sequences. They'll get a shofar. They use the ram's horn. We call the ram's horn the Jubilee. That's the horns, the seven horns that are on the Lord. Those horns mean something. They mean dominion. They mean a lot. So with the Jewish people, when they celebrate this week, they'll get together. They'll feast. They know how to feast. And they'll have trumpets that blow in a sequence. And the first one is going to be a long single blast called Tekiah. Now, if I mispronounce these names, forgive me in advance. I normally don't teach on this particular subject. So Tekiah. And it said it represents God's kingship and calls for the people to attention. It's a call to attention to God's kingship. See, they're looking for what we already know. They're looking for their Messiah, and he will reveal himself in this generation. We see him as his second coming. To them, it'll be his first coming, but he's coming. And the whole nation's going to get saved in this generation. He will reveal himself to the whole nation. But they're going to go through Jacob's trouble first. But for us, those trumpets mean the return of the king. Amen? So the trumpets of Jubilee, Jericho, the return of the king, we're looking for the king, his glory, his crowning glory coming in by the trumpets blast. So they'll do a singular blast, and they do a second series of three short blasts. It's a cry for mercy and repentance. This is a time they come together. That's called Shavarim. And then they're going to do a rapid series. So it's call to attention to look for the king. And then the second one, they're going to do these blasts. It's the one, the cry for repentance. So it's a time they're going to come into consecration. I think it's called 10 days of consecration or something. And repentance. And then they go through a rapid series. The third was a short blast. It signifies the urgency and call to wake up from spiritual slumber. There is a reason why God is aligning. There's a wake up call on our nation. And the trumpet, Feast of Trumpets are coming in this week, and I believe there's a call to attention. His people are taking position. So many people, if you get on social media and you're paying attention, a lot of people have said, I've been so fearful, I've never posted anything, but now that fear's gone and they're starting to post. People have never posted, they're posting things. It's amazing how people are stepping up. A lot of people, college kids, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, you've been paying tax dollars for the elite to propagandize your kids. And they fill them with all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with God. And now people are awakening. College kids are awakening. And if they said anything, they were the outcast. But now that tide of that battle's shifting now. God's going after this young generation. And the tide's shifting and they're awakening and they're being emboldened to speak. It's amazing how God has shifted everything. He turned it upside down. Praise God. Their boldness has come. So I think all this is coinciding. These trumpets are going to release something in a profound way. It's already started. And then this final blast signifies ultimate redemption. And they have a name, Tekai Gadolo or something like that. So these trumpets mean something to them. They're looking at things, but to us, the Feast of Trumpets, to the Christian world, we celebrate it in a different way. We understand that's history, but we're looking at the trumpets, the Feast of the Trumpets, because it's the call. What do trumpets mean to us? An announcement. It means resurrection. Ultimately, there's a lot of people are talking about, this could be the time of the rapture. This could be the time. Listen, take your rapture rug, roll it up, because God is not going to call his church out yet. He's got mass harvest. I hear these people, there's nothing left for God to do but lift us out of here. And I'm like, oh my goodness. God is not coming to lift us out a powerless church. He's coming for a glorious church. He has to crown his church. He has to reveal the glory. The seven spirits of God has to come out. The white horse has to run. He has to uproot the nations. He has to shake the nations, heaven and earth, sea and dry lands. There will be the greatest wealth transference ever. It's going to happen in our nation, by the way. He's going to take our nation and do some amazing things with it. Get ready. He has already slated America to be a lighthouse of nations. He's going to reveal his glory. Then it's going to go into all nations. He's already got it to political. He's getting the educational lined out. He's already judging the media. And they're going to get some more. But the financial's coming. He's going to uproot the system we're in. God has got so much in store. So grab you some popcorn, get in the prayer calls, and watch what God's going to do. Praise God. Amen. Now to us, it's about resurrection. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. This is a time and what this represents for us, but more to me is this is where we know he's coming. There's two different references for the trumpets. One, he'll meet us in the clouds. Another trumpet is he'll stand on Mount Zion. Those are two different things, or the Mount of Olives. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with a trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. And then they that remain will meet together in the clouds. I believe that, speaking of the rapture, you may not be a rapture person. I'm definitely a rapture person because I believe the last 7 years their witness will return to the Jews. But the trumpets does speak of the church's resurrection. It speaks of finality. God's announcing to the world, time has come. I believe what these are announcing is generation resurrection. We're a generation that's going to reveal resurrection before the resurrection. Before we're taken out, we're going to reveal that power. third-day tabernacle revealing, where the glory is seen. Isaiah said it. Arise. We pray it all the time. Shine, thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon the glory is seen. God will be seen upon the tabernacles of man. God's going to light his people up in these last days. His glory is going to emanate from our bodies. That glory be revealed. Another reference is, go to Matthew 24, I want you to see this. This is what we're celebrating in Feast of Trumpets. We're celebrating these times are coming. We're looking for these days. But what we're looking for is the manifestation of these days before that day comes. We're looking for the resurrection, the trumpets of resurrection. So Matthew 24. Now this one is speaking of his second coming. Everything God's going to do in the last days is going to announce with a trumpet. That's important. God's going to announce with a trumpet. I'll just throw this out here. I'm not getting into end time theology with you right now, but a lot of mid-tribbers, you got pre, mid, post, and pan. Y'all know the difference. Pre-tribulation, we're caught up before Jacob's trouble. Mid-tribbers, we're in it. It's going to take us midway through because they base that on the last trump. And they're talking about a judgment trump. Those seven trumpets of Revelation are judgment trumpets. I just cannot believe God will take a judgment trumpet and use that to sound for us to come out from the earth. I don't think God would put those two together. He's judging the world with a seventh trumpet. We're being called out. I believe in a total separate event where we called out from the earth. And that's the rapture. This particular trumpet he's announcing here is his second coming, but he's going to announce the trumpets. The seven trumpets are on the Lord. Those weren't the trumpets of judgment. Those are the crown. God is in the trumpets in the last days. He's in the trumpets. He was crowned with seven trumpets. What does it mean? It's the clarion call of dominion. The king is coming out. He's going to bring his perfection into the earth. He's going to align things that couldn't be aligned before. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, everyone knows this is second coming for them. Shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and shall appear the sign of the sun in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven in power, great glory, and he'll send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet. And they shall gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. This is second coming Trump. He's going to announce what he does with trumpets. I believe this week is a foreshadow. These trumpets are initiating what we're already seeing. What he's already said is going to happen. We need the initiation. I mean, if he's got seven trumpets in Revelation 5, he saw a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns, or seven, those horns were trumpets. That's what we use, the ram's horns, the jubilee. Trumpets. That's what a trumpet. Back in those days, they weren't the metal trumpets you and I know. They're the ram's horns. And he had seven of them. So they're all upon him, and he's going to release that crown. Don't you think it's going to come with a sound? The sound. The sound of the trumpets. So I believe this week, we got a president named Trump. We're in a season of Trumps. The King of Glory has seven trumpet horns. We want to see all this. I believe it's a major week of initiation. We as a church, look, when we're celebrating a resurrection. We're celebrating the end. Two events. One's the rapture. The second one is the Lord coming in glory. Both of them we want, but not right now. Praise God. We got so much to do. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. This one was a foreshadowing. It's really speaking of the rapture, but I like it because it's speaking of something a whole lot more to me. 1 Corinthians 15. Because I think things are going to get initiated. They already got initiated. The ball's rolling already. Jump on the train. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, verse 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, transformed, transfigured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. They're speaking about the glorified body. But to me, we're a generation. Look, David and Abraham did not have to wait for their generation. They transcended. They saw what was next. They transcended and they stood in our covenant. And the Bible called it accounted righteousness, which meant that he did not hold their nature against them. They were still born in the law. Every Jewish person had the law of sin and death working in them. Even though they were covenant with God, they still had the law of sin and death. But he didn't hold that nature. They got to operate like you and I. When we're born again, that law of sin and death is shattered from our spirit. Our spirit's made in the image of Christ. A new law works in us. Law of the spirit of life. But it speaks of resurrection. So this trumpet, when the trump shall sound, I don't have to wait because I already see the new day. That's what we do in the face of God. We go stand. Well, I don't know about that. How about this in Romans 8? To him who's justified, to them are glorified. You have already, in the plan of redemption, legally been glorified. Means the trump has already sounded for you. So when we go stand and celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, I'm not standing now, I'm standing over in that day. Let the trumpet sound, O body receive, the day of glory has come. Be thou free, let the law, the spirit of life, multiply. Let the trumpet sound, let there be life. That's how I'm going to celebrate Feast of Trumpets. Got a feast? But that's what Feast of Trumpets, we're celebrating resurrection. We're celebrating return to the king. Even the Jews look for their king. When they blow the first trumpet, they're looking, they're standing attention, looking for their king. We're looking for our king. That's what we have in common. Feast of Trumpets, we're looking. But what we want, because we track, we want what he's sending out in front of himself. We want his seven spirits of God, the crowning glory coming out. He's the one that gave us all these revelations in the first place. He was a lamp. He was a lamp within. He showed us how to move in the invisible kingdom. He gave us all the revelations of it. But he's turning now to a crown where he'll be with us in the earth. There's a difference. I have a whole lot of spiritual discernment. In the spiritual realm, I have really good discernment. I don't always have the best discernment in the earth. Even my son said, Dad, listen. He goes, you're really good with the Bible. He goes, but we're looking at trucks and things. And I was like, let's think about this over here. Because in the natural realm, I have to admit, I don't always have the best discernment. But in the spirit, I do. We all have our gifts. Now, the reason is because I've been programmed to build this invisible house. So all my programming's in the spiritual realm. And it's a house made without hands, and it's being built for habitation. Now, when habitation comes, God changes his directive. He that was with you as a lamp is now with you as a crown. Now, when he's with you, he brings discernment for earthly things. Because it's an operation now that's moved out from the invisible into visible manifestation. He'll bring another level of discernment. So where you were lacking in areas, he's going to fill it all in. He's going to endue this generation with wisdom beyond time. Multifaceted, multi-operational wisdom to move in and out of time, bringing an invisible kingdom into the earth for manifestation. So trumpets to me speak of resurrection. They speak of the king. So when I'm celebrating and I'm seeing the trumpets, I'm seeing the return of the king in his glory by way of the seven spirits of God first. Because he's the seven trumpets. When you say seven, it's not a they, by the way, it's a he. He's named the seven spirits of God. It's not seven of them. Seven spirits of God is his perfection. When you hear seven with God, it just means wisdom is perfected on overload. It's beyond any kind of two or three dimensional wisdom, you may understand it. Seven dimensional wisdom. It's beyond time, space. It's him who was, is to come. Multifaceted and omnipresent. That's why any time they approached the Lord, he already knew what was happening before he could fulfill their sentences most of the time. He already saw when they would be approaching him to give him a piece of their mind, he could finish their sentences for them. He knew what was in their heart before they even spoke. He walked in a level, he knew every trap. Even that time with Lazarus, he waited 2 days. It wasn't so his friend could die and he could show the world he could raise him from the dead. God doesn't think like that. He waited 2 days because a trap was being laid. When the trap was this minute, he went, but death did not make his decision for him. Amen? Because he was life, he knew who he was, and he called the day of resurrection into that day. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it was different. He walked over to the day. But that's how he walked. He wasn't bound by time or space. God's going to get us there in the last days. It's called the manifestation of the sons of God. We have dominion over the earth. I woke up the other morning. Well, I say the other morning. This was months ago. But I saw this thing scrolling till the earth obeys. It kept scrolling till the earth obeys. I said, what is that? It was just scrolling right in front of me. And he said, that's the answer to your question. I said, what question? He said, the one you keep asking me, how long do I have to keep doing this? He goes, when the earth obeys, that's how long it takes. Keep doing it till the earth obeys. You're not done until the earth obeys. It's not enough to go up and down and know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's not enough to go into the glory realm and receive. It's not enough until you can bring it in, until you decree what you receive and the earth obeys. Say, till the earth obeys. We've been given a very large mountain to move. I don't talk about that one as much, but it's a mountain. It's impossible. It's big. And it has to move. It already moved in the realm of glory. We have to bring that realm and coincide it with heaven's realm. That's true kingdom stuff right there. That's beyond gift realm. That's kingdom, mountain moving stuff right there. Amen? Praise God. But that's the trajectory on, and I'm pretty happy because I think this week there could be some phenomenal things. Now that's Jewish in the church, a little bit about Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Now I want you to go over to one of our favorite verses, Haggai. You know, Haggai is going to ask you if you read his book. It's only 2 chapters, but man, did he load something up in there. This chapter 2, just amazing. I'm going to share something with you. The Lord highlighted. He doesn't normally do this because I don't like a lot of times and dates things. I don't like putting my faith in it. But the Lord said, we're not trying to initiate anything here. He goes, these feasts can fulfill what's already done. They don't initiate anything. But I want to share something with you. It's pretty profound. Now, the first part of this, Haggai chapter 2, and then I'll let Cody finish this, what you were going to share, Cody. What you were sharing this morning. Well, we have some really awesome times before the times. Hallelujah. So Haggai 2, one of our favorite theme chapters. This event has to take place before any rapture takes place. This event is absolute. Haggai 2 verse 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, once it is a little while, I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and dry land. I'll shake all nations. The treasures of all nations will come in. I'll fill this latter day end time house with glory. He's absolutely speaking of the restoration of the house. He didn't call it a church, called the house, because it's a kingly house. And he's gonna restore the house of David and all of its wealth. It's coming. It's coming. And I mean, get positioned. Get ready. It's happening. Praise God. The silver's mine. The gold is mine. Ultimately, it'll return to an asset back system. God declared it. Have you watched gold? What's going on with gold? Going up, up, up. It's one of the best. Nobody's talking about it, but it's one of the best investments right now out there. It's going to keep going because you're in an inflationary time. Gold's going to keep going up, up. Crypto and gold, and especially crypto, that's going to facilitate gold and silver in the next chapter of the world. Anyway. So my glory of this latter day house be greater than Solomon's day. Praise God. We have a king over our nation. You can call him a king. You can call him president. He's still a king. The kings of the earth, all. when he does a world tour, he comes back and America's better for it. They all, if they want to do business with America, they all have to invest now with America. Build your factories in America. That means American jobs. Everything's America first. I don't know if you saw it. Queen did it too. King Charles, when he's over there, you don't walk in front of the king. He does. King Charles went like this, and he walked in front of King Charles, just like he did with the queen. Nobody ever walked in front of the queen, but he did. These nations, just like Solomon, they had all come. They were a lot of heathen nations, but they'd all do business. You're going to see America come like this, and glory's coming. He has the God on his lips. He speaks openly of God. He speaks openly of Jesus. The other day, he said something, two, three most things you could do, and the third one was prayer. Three most important things. I can't remember what he said first two, but the third one's prayer. We need to pray. It's amazing. It's awesome to see what's going on. It's only beginning. It's only beginning. They have an open worship and prayer meetings in the White House now. It's awesome to see. Praise God. Paula White told him, when she had one of the first prayer meetings there, he goes, we need a whole lot more of that. Get that going. What president? He understood. Something changed when that bullet grazed his ear. He met God. He knew him a little bit. He knows him a lot. He'll get to know him a whole lot more. He suffered too. But this is all part of a house that God's building. You're part of, we're part. We all have a part in this house. Amen. The wealth of the nations is coming in. Now, watch what I'm saying here. Watch this, because the Lord alerted me to this. This is the first time this has happened. Where Rosh Hashanah, our Feast of Trumpets, falls on the 24th day. Because it moves around. But it fell on the 24th day. Now watch, he says something right here, because he tells you're going to wealth transference. Then he says, verse 18, I'll tell you what, the Lord just put me on this. I believe this week may initiate a whole lot of stuff. You don't always hear me talking like that, but there's just so much happening right now. Now look at verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, forward, or this initiation day, the initiation of the Feast of Trumpets, the initiation of Rosh Hashanah, the initiation day of the 24th day of the ninth month. Whew. Even from the day the foundation of the Lord's house was laid. Now he's speaking out of Zechariah 4. He's talking about an end time foundation. The hands of Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of the house. In other words, the spiritual foundation was laid. There's so much there. It's amazing. The hands do finish. Say the hands do finish. But he said, consider this. That was actually a finishing. God spoke a word about being hands and we would lay the foundation of a Latter-day house. That website, Right Hand of God, is what I believe be the foundation of the Latter-day house. Foundational revelation is the return of the king, the return of the crown. Revelations you just don't hear out there. I don't have an Elijah syndrome. You know, that we're the only one that ever get this. I don't care if everybody gets it, but I know this house has that. Amen? And he said that the hands of Zerubbabel were hands. We're all hands. We're all part of this building. Had laid the foundation of this house. Now, he said that before we ever did it. But we actually, I believe when we culminated the mysteries of the face of God, Ray Lynn sings that so well. It's like, you've shown us your faith. When he culminated those mysteries, I believe it was a crowning. It's not that he's not giving us any more, but it was a crowning day for the house being, or the foundational revelations being laid. The early church and the latter together, it's early and latter reign. And the reason is he had to, he has to bring this house back. He was taking it up in the early church. He's bringing it back in the Latter-day house. So when he's saying from the day the house, the foundation was laid, that event for us in the natural already happened. That is a fulfilled promise we saw in the word. We actually did that in our worst. Imagine what we're going to do in our best. Praise God. I mean, we weren't the, you know, we didn't do that perfectly by any means, but we did it. Amen. And now God, by His grace, in the near future, we're getting all the files. We're going to be able to take all those teachings and simultaneously put them in every language of the earth, or most known languages. In their own language, they'll hear my voice, but I speak fluent Chinese. I do. You should hear me. It's amazing. And Carlos, in the beginning, he's the one that came up with this idea. He goes, no, LaRue, he goes, listen. He goes, I think we're needing to use an AI voice. He goes, can you just imagine you speaking Chinese? He goes, and him and I were going back and forth. I said, but if you don't use my voice, use the AI voice, you're losing something there. I mean, and we were going back and forth. I said, I'll tell you what, let's just try it. So he sent my AI Chinese voice. I speak Chinese. And he sent it to one of his friends, AI version. He goes, that's pretty flat. And he didn't like it. So he got mine. And this guy is really opinionated. This Chinese person, super. So he'll tell him the truth. He goes, you know, that's not half bad. And I was like, yeah, baby. And Carlos goes, Pastor, I repent. We will go with your voice. Chinese, Japanese, all of it. Vietnamese. We already got a Hispanic voice. So each one of these files with the press of a button, they'll hear this revelation in their own language. Isn't that awesome? The house will be given to every nation freely. We'll be able to put a website. It'll all be in their language. That's not going to take much. We can do that pretty fast. So even the time of the foundation of the Lord, we'll close here. Verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? The vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree. Say olive tree. Say the olive tree. You don't know what it means, but I do. It has not brought forth yet. From this day I will bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the ninth month. It's the first time it's coincided with Feast of Trumpets. So all of these are together. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the Lord was just, I'm like, whoa. I don't normally do it, but when things start lining up and things going on with Charlie Kirk and the things already breaking out, I feel we're in a prophetic time zone. Verse 22, I will overthrow. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I will shake the heavens and the earth. He's speaking of the prophecy we just read. I will overthrow. He's going to go on further. I'll overthrow the throne of kingdoms. He's talking about second coming of the Lord here, the initiation of second coming alignment. That's what this verse is about. I'll destroy the strength, the kingdoms of heathen. I'll overthrow the chariots and those that ride in, the horses and the riders, everyone by the sword. In that day, saith the Lord, I'll take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, and I'll make thee a signet. For I have chosen thee. Say, I'll make thee a signet. What's a signet? It's a ring. Where's the ring go on? The hand. What did he call us? The hands. Where is the signet going to be put? With the hands. He's going to put his signet ring in the hands of the Lord. For the alignment of nations and the return of his house. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God glory. Hebrews gives reference to this. And we'll close with this.
So in Hebrews 12 is a direct reference to Haggai chapter 2 verse 6. And he says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, and as of those things which are made, that those things which cannot shaken will remain. So So it's talking about God's unshakable kingdom coming into the earth. And we have a very unique calling in this church. We've been given a word that spans all the way from the history of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all their wives. That crown was, and their bodies were buried in Mount Hebron. That's where David was crowned. So that's all of the Jewish history wrapped up in a single revelation. But that's the very crown that Jesus is going to come receive when he steps onto the Mount of Olives. So it's a revelation that carries all the way from the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament. So that's the word we're keeping. And if you want to learn the specifics of it, on righthandofgod.com, you just scroll down and you go to the Dispensation of the Crown series. And that has all of the history of everything and how the crown started with Abraham and goes all the way through David's day. But it's awesome.